Good morning. I believe that we're here to serve a wonderful God this morning, a God that loves us, a God that cares for us much. And we've got so much to be thankful and grateful for. No matter what our situation or our circumstances are, I believe our God is greater. Our God is worthy of our worship. This morning as we go into this word, it may be simple, it may be something that you've heard before. But you know what, folk, I believe that there's this church, part of our vision is to love one another, to just show that love. But I believe that God's taking us, as I was sitting at home, and even though we had the fire on, man, I tell you what, it was cold. But as I was sitting there, I was just thinking, something just crossed my mind. They're those that don't have a fire. Am I just a, They're those that don't have a warm blanket. They're those that don't even have a jersey, let alone a jacket. I'm not even talking about food for their belly. And yet it's so cold. I know that we as a church, we've got our grocery box out there. There's been a call for blankets, for jerseys. Folk, you know what? I'm not preaching to you or at you this morning. I want us to go in a journey, to a journey through the Word, to see what Jesus has to say. Yes, he says, love one another. We know it off heart. See, it's easy to love our church family. It's easy to love our family and friends. But how about loving somebody that you don't know? You see, we can preach it. Love one another, we can preach it. Has been preached a couple of weeks ago. And I've got the notes to show you. But I believe the challenge for us is different this morning. The challenge is to love in action. I've always spoken and said that I believe that to touch lives, people's lives, is this. People aren't interested in how much you know or how much you do or say until they know how much you care. You see, it's that action that I'm talking about this morning. As I said to you, it's very easy to love people in the congregation here. And see them grow as we love them in word and in action. But you know, when you go through those doors at the back there, what do you see? And I'm not necessarily just talking missions, Joe and Maggie. I'm talking to each and every one here this morning. God has blessed us. He's given us so much to be grateful for. We may be stressed out about because of this or because of that or because of the political situation, whatever the case might be. But I want to tell you this morning, I believe that God's got a word for us as a church to encourage us, to make us realize just how much He does care for people in need. And He gives us the word to go to. And I want us, that's why I said, let's take a journey this morning. And if you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 10. And I want to begin reading a parable or the prelude and the parable that Jesus spoke about. You see, Jesus taught in parables. Okay? But here it is. In Luke chapter 10, And I'm going to begin to read at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And I believe many of us here, possibly this morning, are wondering, what am I going to do to eternal life, to get eternal life? And he said, what is written in the law? And what is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you shall live. Are we asking the questions that that lawyer asked? Are we turning around and wondering, who's this neighbor that's been spoken about? But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor, I'm asking you this morning? And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothes, wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite. Please notice, both of these are religious people. And when he arrived at the place, he came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day when he had departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Love in action. Love in action. On June the 17th, a young man entered a certain church in Charleston, South Carolina. Sat down and attended the prayer meeting. After about an hour a meeting with his people, this man named Dylan Roof pulled out a .45 caliber pistol and shot 9 church members multiple times. He was apprehended the next day in North Carolina. The relatives of those who had fallen told the suspect during a preliminary trial that they forgave him. These people forgave someone who took the lives of their mothers, their children, their siblings, their fathers. This may seem like an impossible task. You see, all things are possible with God. You see, our natural response is to seek revenge, isn't it? We want to take him out. We want to do him harm. We want to become totally ungodly, almost. Because God says, vengeance is mine. But the members of that church illustrated how to show the love of Jesus in the most difficult of times. Those people did not attend church. They showed us how to be the church. You see, folk, that's the difference. We attend church, but are we being the church? And I believe that's what God is talking to us about today. He wants us to be the church. He wants us to show love in action. It is following him out into the streets. You see, being the church is not just following Jesus, the doctrines and the beliefs, or belief. It's following him out into the streets, among the people, mingling with them, and loving them where they are. We called for a day of evangelism yesterday. Three people turned up. But folk, I want us to understand something here. You see, we need to evangelize. Jesus said, go. G-O. Go. But in our going, let's start showing them the love that they need. We need to take this as a challenge maybe, or an encouragement to make us realize just how much we need to go. In Matthew 22, verse 37, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is a great and first commandment. The second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Here in Luke chapter 10, Jesus tells us how to love our neighbor. Jesus is telling us through this parable how you have to love your neighbor. What Jesus describes in this parable is love in action. And I'd like us to look at this parable this morning as we talk through some thoughts on it, on the love in action. Luke 10:25, behold, the Lord is stirred up, and we've read it. And he starts questioning, what is written in the law? And Jesus said to him, what's written in the law? How do you read it? And then he answers, and Jesus says, you've answered correctly. But he desires to justify himself. He tries to show just how clever he is. He can preach the word. He knows the word, therefore he can preach it. And then he starts saying, but who is my neighbor? In fact, I want to say this to you today. Many, many, many times I've asked myself that very question. Who is my neighbor? You see, we've got little bubbles around about ourselves in this day and age that we're living. We don't know who our neighbor is. But yeah, Jesus points our neighbor out to us. After Jesus describes how we should treat our neighbor, this guy says, but who's our neighbor? Jesus responded with this parable. And folk, I want to say that this is what I believe. This loving action, Jesus begins by describing it. And the very first point this morning I want to bring up is that there is agony outside the church. There is agony out there. When we walk out those doors, we don't have to look very hard to see that. People are hurting. There are hurting people out there. That's exactly what the Good Samaritan found. There was a hurting man. It's a literal, a figurative, but probably even a literal thing. As we begin to look at it, there are hurting people out there that need Jesus. Not just to be told about Jesus, But they need a warm jacket so that they can open their ears. Luke chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus replied this. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell amongst robbers who stripped him, beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. I think we can identify with that in South Africa, can't we? As this man travels, he's attacked. His possessions are stolen. He's stripped of his clothes, wounded, and left him for dead. Beaten up for what? For his clothes. Man was in a bad shape. He's in a very bad shape. And folk, today I believe that we encounter on a daily basis similar situations. There are people in our town who are homeless. We come to church in the morning, I see them at Spa, under their blankets and their plastic bags and their newspaper all wrapped up to try and keep warm, to keep this cold where they're out. Where did they sleep last night? Right there on the pavement. They're homeless. Can you imagine not having a place to put your head down? You can say, oh, but you know, it's their choice. Sometimes, folk, I think we need to get rid of that, oh, it's their choice. And start thinking beyond that. With the economy as it is, open your eyes and realize just how much is going on. Easy for us to drive in a Merc to church. What about that person who doesn't have a car to drive? They've got to walk. What about that person who doesn't have a home? Not knowing where your next meal is coming from. There are many people addicted to alcohol. In fact, I think it was Randfontein was in the Guinness Book of Records for the most alcohol consumed per capita. In a town, a mining town. Great stuff we can drink. You know what? It's affected their health. They've lost their jobs. They've lost their families. Their health has gone downhill. Because it was always just swinging the arm. Alcoholics. There are some addicted to drugs. You can name them. I'm not going to name them. But they've ruined lives. There are many people who are hurting. And why have they gone to drugs? Why have they gone to the alcohol? Trying to drown their sorrows? Trying to forget about their hurts? Where's the church in those times of need? Many have terminal diseases. And because of their sickness, they can't work. Medical bills that are difficult to pay or can't be paid. Some people are in abusive relationships. And they don't know how to get out of it. There's so many more issues that people are facing as we speak. But some have an even greater problem. Worse than physical sickness, financial despair, and chemical addiction is the fact that there are people who are lost and on their way to hell. There is no doubting that the people are hurting. Not only are people hurting, but there are people that are helpless. That man who was beaten up, his clothes stolen, his possessions stolen, was lying on the side of the road, helpless. He couldn't help himself. He was beaten to the point of almost death. To within an inch of his life. There was nothing he could do for himself. He was truly helpless. Just as we regularly encounter people who are hurting, we also encounter those who are helpless. The Bible teaches that God uses us to help those who cannot help themselves. In Mark 25, verse 35, we read this. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And the righteous will answer him and saying, Lord, when did I see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these my brothers, you did to me. You see, folk, you begin to see where our responsibility begins to lie. Yeah, Jesus is using a parable and saying, here's a man, he's helpless, he's hurting. What have you done about it? He's the least of our brothers. You see, folk, that's when love in action begins to take place. When we start doing what we have to do. We can preach Jesus with our words, but we will reach people with our actions. Yes, we can tell people that Jesus loves them, but we will have a greater impact when we show them the love of Christ. It is true that we will encounter many who simply do not want help. They don't want a job. They just want a freebie. They don't want to put the bottle down. They don't want to give up the drugs. They just want pity. They don't want that precious baby in the womb. And there are some who would give anything to get away from their circumstances. There's some who've tried everything to get away from the addiction. There are homeless people who want to work, but without transport, a house, a shower, and without clean clothes to wear, who's going to hire them? There are even people who know that they need to address their spiritual condition, but they do not have the knowledge to take the first step. You see, folk, I'm not just necessarily talking about the physical side of their life. How about their spiritual lives? You want a person to be made whole? There are two areas. Security is one of them. And then you've got to deal with the spiritual issues in their life. Because they have been under attack. They have been dealt a blow. Folk, I want to say this to you today. When you don't have, when you are battling financially, what happens to your spiritual life? Let's be honest with one another here today. What happens? Are you A-OK? Are you going like a Boeing? Or are you sweet like a lemon? What are you? Can I tell you what you're more bitter than a lemon is? And it takes a knock on your spiritual life. Takes a knock on your spiritual life. When things aren't going well, you come into a place that you never want to be in. You begin to say things and do things, and afterwards, you stand back and you say, Lord, have mercy, what have I just done? But you see, unless somebody helps you, unless somebody's praying for you, unless somebody's there loving you as an individual just for who you are and showing love in action and encouraging you with the word. You see, the two go hand in hand. Preaching the word and showing love in action goes hand in hand, folk. We can't do without it. We need it. We need to show it to this lost and dying world. All we have to do is step outside those doors and we will find helpless, hopeless, hurting people who need assistance. Likewise, there are countless lost souls in need of a Savior. With all these opportunities, why do we not see and hear more stories of changing lives? You see, folk, maybe I'm challenging you this morning. Maybe you're saying, hey, Dave, come on, man. You're standing on my corn. Not your sweet corn, the corn in your tongue. But, folk, I want us to begin to see something here. It's something that we need to take notice of. And I'm not necessarily talking to the choir, to this church, because we're probably all the choir. We're doing what we can. But maybe there's more that we need to do. You see, I believe the second point is this. Beg your pardon. In Luke chapter 10, verse 31. Now by chance the priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. Folk, as we begin to look at that, it brings me to the second point, which I believe in the apathy is inside the church. There's an apathy. A lack of response. The priest goes and he checks this guy out and he says, no ways, hang on. Pass by. Maybe he was going to shul or the temple or whatever the case might be. And his thoughts were all on that, but he looks aside, he sees this guy and he carries on. Maybe his thoughts were all about the work and the religious duties that he had to do. Or maybe it was that fact that, as we know with the Jewish tradition, you're not allowed to touch a dead body. That's why they don't even fly over a graveyard. They've got special suits that they put on in case they fly over a graveyard that they bolt themselves into. Maybe they need to bolt themselves down to the floor. Why was that? Because there were 7 days of cleansing ritual, but he couldn't carry on if he had any contact with blood or with this person that was hurting. Is that where we act? That we're so busy, we can't see the hurting because of the busyness. Or we haven't got the time just to take a moment to show love in action. And the Levite we know is a helper in the temple. It was their job to help other people. And this guy comes, he sees the guy lying over there, so he goes out. You know what the helpers are like? They've always got to go to see where they can help. Yeah? So he goes over there and he checks this guy out. And instead of getting down on his knees and begin to help this guy, he thought, no way, no way, Jose, this is not for me. And he does a beef or boogie and he gaps it out there. That is apathy, fuck. Apathy. An attitude, yes, I see it, but I don't care what's happening. An attitude that says, I don't care what's happening, or I don't want to help you anyway. I'll listen to what you're saying, but don't ask me for help. If any of us find ourselves in that position, I believe we'd better get on our knees. You see the problem, but you just don't care. Unfortunately, in the church, and I'm not talking about this church necessarily, because I'm talking about the church in general, we find apathy concerning helping those in need. There was a problem for those. There was not a problem like that for those in the early church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44, what did they do? And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Now, am I telling you to go and sell your Merc or your car? If you go and sell the Merc, I'll have a fist in my eye. Am I telling you to do that? If God leads you, go and do it. That's what I'm saying. But don't come and say, yes, if you get 100,000, oh, I just got 50,000 for it. That takes you to Ananias and Sapphira, which is another sermon all on its own. I'm not talking financials either. What I'm saying to you is, if you feel that way inclined, that God's leading you that way, go and do it. If not, do what you can to show love in action. Okay? It seems the church has lost sight of the people beyond the doors. Many Christians have noticed the problem. And it seems the problem, they see the problem but refuse to do anything about it. And this was the case with the priest that we've read about. So many times we see the needs around us, but we are just too busy to take the time to meet those needs. I like to say that many Christians neglect the people. Instead of loving our neighbor and showing compassion, we are too focused on our own lives. In fact, I believe that if we look at this, this seems to be the case with the Levite. So focused on yourself. You know, I want that title. Pastor. You know what, if I can't do anything for somebody else and show them love in action, I'm not a pastor. Like, I want us to hear something today. Get out of our bubbles. You're probably saying to me, but I'm not walking in my bubble. Can I tell you what? You are walking in your bubble. Just made it uncomfortable. Because I walked in a bubble. And I don't care what anybody else feels. So I walk against them. I brush up against them. They get cross and upset. We don't care what anybody else thinks. Can I tell you what? Get onto the road and ride through to Western Area or ride through to Joburg. You'll see how people live in their bubble. That self-centeredness, that selfishness. Ack, me, my, I. In fact, maybe this is hard and harsh. But I want us just to take this point and realize that that bubble causes us to stand in a position where we're neglecting to love one another. Let's get out of this selfish attitude that we're finding. And I'm going to say it. In South Africa, the politicians take your money. VBS Bank. Sorry, now I'm getting nasty. Let me go back to my notes. banking institution where you trust, you put your money in there, but they can't do whatever they want with it. That's selfishness. Is that what God wants? Why didn't they take that money and give it to the poor? Maybe people would have kept quiet about it. I believe the Levites' actions were probably worse than that of the priests. Because he actually went and had a look but did nothing about it. There are people that are hurting, folk, and we can't just look. We can't just listen. We need to start doing something about it. We need to move on. All right? And I want to ask you something. Just as that Levite who saw the extent of the injuries but walked him away and left him to let him die. How do you respond when you encounter somebody who's hurting you? When somebody comes to you and asks you for something to eat, do you say to him, "Get away from me, you stinking beggar. You stink. Get away. Go and get a job." Is that our attitude? Have we said those words? Maybe I should set up a confessional and you the priests this morning. How about that person standing at the robot begging? You just ignore them. Or they come to you and you make sure you've got no money in your pocket so that you don't have to give them anything. Folk, I want to say this to you. We don't know that person's story. He may be a veteran. Or there may be some ailment he has. That he can't get a job. He wants a job, but he can't get one. Or maybe he doesn't have the mental capacity to do some work. There are countless reasons why people find themselves in the street. You see, we're quick to judge people when we don't know their story. Let's not forget where most of us came from. Before we found Jesus. Before somebody stepped out and loved us and showed us love in action. Where did we come from? We were probably worse guttersnipes than what those people, that man that comes and says he wants a job. Or he wants 5 cents. Or 10 cents. Or a rand. Or 2 rand. Probably in a worse position than what they were. But we're quick to judge. Try and find out their story. Try and show them something. Let's not forget about this, that most of us are probably just a couple of paychecks away from being in the same position. What about when the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses come to the come to your door? You slam the door in their faces because you want nothing to do with them. When we should actually be praying for them. When we should be actually showing them the truth that sets them free. What about the drug addict? The alcoholic, the prostitute. None of these actions show people the love of Jesus. None of these people are any more lost than you were when you met your Savior. And I'm not trying to justify drug addiction, abortion, prostitution, alcohol, being in a cult. I'm not justifying that at all this morning, folk. But what I'm saying is that there is an opportunity for us to share the love of Christ to the lost in this world who need a Savior. Maybe you do not act unkind to these people. Maybe you simply ignore them. But think about this for a moment. We spend money for missionaries. We send money for missionaries to reach people with the gospel all over the world. Yet we encounter lost people on a daily basis and we neglect, ignore, and ridicule them. Folk, I want to tell you what. If you send any money to missionaries, you need to be doing exactly the same in this town. I'm glad Joe and Maggie are here. But I had to ask them to testify to what they do out in the field. They take a team out. They go into places that you and I would not want to even see. They take medical supplies. They take dentists. They take opticians. It's not just spreading the word. It's showing love in action. The person who can't see properly goes and sees the opticians there and gives him a pair of glasses. Suddenly this man can see. Then they give him the word of God to read. Isn't that what it's all about, Joe? See, folks, that's how I believe what God is saying to us. That's what God's saying to us. But there's an assignment for you and I. There's an assignment. Jesus never revealed the problems to his followers without also giving a solution. And the first part of the solution is this, to see the need. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came, and when he was and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And that's where love comes into action, folk. The first word, letter of care is C, compassion. To show compassion to those who are in need, who are hurting, who are helpless in this world. Now, I'm not going to go through all those things that I've gone through already because I've probably taken more of your time than what I should have. But I want us to understand this morning. There are people who need to be cared for. And here the Samaritan, to take them maybe to a shelter. That's the end. Pay for two or three nights or more and say, please, feed this guy. Get him warm. Or take the person to a shelter where they deal with alcoholism. Or go get involved with some group that actually feed people that are truly hungry. That haven't had a square meal in weeks. Are we prepared to step out and do that? You see, folk, I'm talking about a positive thing. Love in action. We do it by giving groceries. We do it by giving blankets. We do it by giving to some shelters as well. But you know, there are more people out there that need to see the Christian showing love in action. And I believe our assignment is this, folks. Forget about your self-righteousness. You know, I've just done that. Bible tells me that one mustn't know what the other hand's doing. And I challenge you this morning with this. Go out there today and show that love in action. Come to Joe and say, I've got time. I want to go on a mission trip with you. I want to show love in action. Yes, it's inconvenient. Yes, we don't always have the finances. But you know, we can do something. If I have to go to my cupboard, I can probably take out a jersey over there and go to somebody who doesn't have one and give it to him. Is that not love in action? Folks, I want us to begin to see something here. Love in action speaks louder than the words that I'm talking this morning. If I'm not prepared to show that love, then I'm an empty vessel or an empty tin. Have you ever hit a 45-gallon drum when it's empty? It sounds like a gong, boom, and it means nothing. There's no content to it. And maybe the challenge for us this morning is let's put some physical content into the words that we're speaking. When we go out with Neil and we go to evangelize him, maybe there's somebody there that actually needs to be told. Not just about Jesus, but to be given a jersey. To be given a jersey. Or given a blanket. Or taken to somewhere where they can have a roof over their head and a warm meal. You see, that's the practical side, folk, of love. And I believe that's our assignment that Jesus gave us. Go and love your neighbor as yourself. We love ourselves so much. We ride around in fancy cars. We've got fancy homes. We've got plenty of food, but we don't care for our neighbor who's suffering. Jesus loved us immaterial of what the cost was. He loved us to the point that he stretched out his arms and died for you and I. Can I tell you something? You won't die if you give. A little love in action. And I believe that's a challenge for us as we go out here today. Let's open our eyes. I pray that the Holy Spirit just open our eyes and use us to be able to do exactly what God's assignment calls us to do. All right. For you and I, to show that love. For you and I to see that need. For you and I to meet that need. For you and I to feed those little children, the least of the brothers. Father God, believe that love is not an option, it's a command. And as we leave this place, Father, may we examine that extreme agony outside this church. And may we begin to put your love that you have for us into action. In our effort to show gratitude to you, in our effort to worship you. Father, you've called us to serve. And I pray, Father, for each one here, Holy Spirit, that you will open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds, that we will truly begin to love our neighbor as ourselves. And truly, Father, might this not just be another word. Might it be something that we do in silence, in quietness. But Father, your church, I believe, will grow as we begin to do this. And so, Father, help us to become physical and spiritual Christians. In Jesus' name, amen.